This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Across from me, former Cleveland Indians pitcher, starter, reliever extraordinaire, it's Jason Stanford. What's up, buddy?
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, Nick.
I like the idea that this is like, it's speed dating with like a blind date, because you and I met each other, I believe, 2 hours ago, and it was like, all right, I'm a Libra, I'm fat, I talk too much, I got a lot of kids, they're also loud. What about you? I like that that's where we are.
Well, I think we're going to combine very well. I like to talk a lot. I'm not a Libra, though. I'm an Aquarius.
I don't know what that means.
Me neither, right?
I've only done the surface level. Like, I do love when people are like, well, I'm a Sagittarius. And I'm like, well, I still don't know what the hell that means. Like, oh, you better stay away from those cancers. I'll tell you that. Okay. I don't know what that means.
So what I know, an Aquarius gets along with everybody. So we're going to be just fine this fine day. But I have three kids. They love me to death on days that don't end in Y, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah, well, listen, if only we had things to talk about with the Cleveland Browns. We are going to get to some Guardians here in about 40 minutes here. But the big news today was a report about Myles Garrett, who we know, at first it was a foot, then it was feet. Now it's more than feet or a foot. Now, apparently Jordan Schultz saying that, that Myles Garrett is playing through three injuries. A foot, a thigh, and okay, the thigh is a funny injury because I've got a bruised thigh before. It's no joke, but it's just kind of a funny thing to see on the report. And then the thing that's not funny at all, which is the Achilles there, Jason.
Very, very scary. Anytime that you see an Achilles, especially with a player of his caliber, and the team, you know, kind of spiraling down, this is going to be a tough one.
So what's crazy about it is, you know, last year, I think everybody thought, like, okay, injuries aren't going to bug us. We're past injuries. Because, at one point, they had, like, half the payroll on IR. And so you thought, oh, well, cool. We can sustain anything. But this year, Nick Chubb is on the POP list. We won't see him until at least week 5. Obviously, Deshaun's coming off the shoulder. You've got tackle issues where DeJuan had to play hurt last week because you didn't have any active offensive lineman to take his spot. That's how banged up you were. Oh, by the way, Jed Wills came into the game for the first time and then went out of the game. Wyatt Teller's on the IR. Like, last year, yes, you did have, obviously Nick Chubb's injury, and you had other significant injuries, but what's crazy about this is it is your core that is getting taken down. I mean, even Denzel, who's playing, had the fifth concussion in camp. Like, at some point, You combine that with just bad football, and it's a lot to kind of try and, you know, get brown and orange-colored glasses on.
Yeah, I think the worst part about it, normally you would say next man up, but right now you're trying to find the next man up, and they're not even there. So anytime you're looking at offensive talent of Deshaun Watson not being up to par what he's supposed to be, you know, and everybody's hoping that he comes back to be the Deshaun Watson of the past. Not probably going to happen anytime soon. You lose Nick Chubb last season. Now all of a sudden he's still on the PUP. And now Myles Garrett. Man, this one right now, for me, hurts even more than anybody else because you have a gentleman that is a very talented athlete that has an Achilles issue that's serious.
Well, and you said the word. It's Achilles. Like, if you look at, like, for instance, Christian McCaffrey in San Francisco, like, he's going to Germany to see about treatment for his Achilles. Because I think we learned this, and especially the first time I remember, like, guys playing with a calf injury, in quotations, blows out his Achilles. It was the year that Golden State lost Kevin Durant in the NBA Finals. And KD's still a really good player. He's not the guy he was before. You can't be. You can only get so much better after an Achilles injury. So this is one of those ones where you start to come to the conversation here. All right, like, you need Miles to win every week. But is a two-week rest, is that better? If you think he can get healthy in that time, is that better than maybe him missing the full season if this thing does end up impacting his Achilles?
I think that's going to be the biggest question, right? When you're looking at a player of his caliber and saying, would you rather him miss 1 or 2 weeks, get completely healthy, and then run through the rest of the season? Or do you lose a guy that probably won't be the same? If he blows his Achilles out, we've seen guys that have the strength and power to drive off that foot. Well, once the moment you lose that Achilles, you're not ever going to be the same player ever again, and that's the scary situation.
Well, and it feels like, I don't know, I mean, it does feel like everything's just emanating from those feet issues. Like, it feels like the Achilles and the thigh, and I think Miles has talked about a little bit, like, well, when you're trying to take the pressure off that foot, because every time you step on it hurts, so you're favoring it, all of a sudden you're putting pressure on other parts of your legs, and that's where this gets scary, because again, this is how it's kind of siloed itself now. You never know if, all right, maybe it's tendonitis now. Could it lead to a ruptured Achilles? Could it, and here's the thing. That's probably the worst case scenario. Could it lead to a knee injury? And I don't think there's a right answer, by the way.
No, there isn't a right answer. I guess the luxury that the Browns have right now, clean MRI. So at least we know that there's no structural damage anywhere to that fact right now. But you have to make sure that on the defensive side, you have healthy Myles Garrett.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's funny. The clean MRI actually scared me more. Because there are times where it's like, all right, so it's not showing up on an MRI. So then what is it? Is it like a congenital thing? Is it, you know, what exactly is this thing? Because at least with a, oh, well, it's a tendon or, a you know, it's a pull or it's a strain or something, at least that's easy. The Browns seem, I don't know, the Browns do seem to like specialize in injuries that are like mythical or like hidden injuries. Like last year it was like, well, Deshaun's got a shoulder. Okay, what's specifically in the shoulder? We don't know. It could be a lot of things. And then they finally found the glenoid. Nobody knew what the hell a glenoid was in an NFL quarterback before Deshaun Watson. That's like, so like with the Deshaun thing, you're right about the MRI. But it's almost like the clarity with an MRI coming back dirty is actually, in some way, it's better because at least you have a cleaner path. There's like standard, all right, 2 weeks of rest or 4 weeks of this, or this is the post-game treatment. With this, it just seems to be not something he's been dealing with since he was a kid, and you're either going to play through it and, you know, try and tough it, or it's going to get to a point where you're going to have to either rest it or shut it down.
Well, and that's the flip of the coin right there, too. If you, as a player, want to get out there and continue to play because of where the Browns stand right now, then get out there and play. But you also want to make sure that you're playing your best football late in the season.
I'm just going to say rest him. And again, I'm saying that I'm not a doctor. I'm a Libra, but I'm not a doctor. If there's any way in which 2 to 3 weeks off, and I understand the time thing, guys, I'll take 3 weeks off if it means I can get him ready for the final 11 games of the season. I just will. And I know that's such a crappy bargain to make. This is where, to me, it's on Kevin. If this guy, because Miles is going to choose, the players, you know this, man, the player's always going to choose to play. But as we saw with Baker, as we saw with Deshaun last year, at some point, somebody's got to be the big boy in the room and go, I don't think you should play because you're not being as effective and you're putting yourself in bigger danger here. I hope that Kevin has maybe learned his lesson from some of the other, what I felt like were times where he should have stepped in. But man, I got to tell you, it's, that's probably my biggest concern in this. Because I just, as the guy that's like, there's no, none of these next three games are worth losing Miles for the season.
No, and that's so true. And they're all winnable games. So that's the, I guess, the luxury for the Browns too. Maybe somebody will step up on that defensive side though and give Miles a chance to heal.
Yeah, I really like that. So it's really tough. You cannot convince me that taking Miles off the field at any point makes you a better team.
No.
But I do think, and I saw this, and I'm going to cross my sports analogies here. There are some times where guys are so singularly great, like I think of like LeBron, where if you look at some of those Cavs teams, even when they had Kyrie and Kevin Love, there was a lot of, okay, you go do you. And it's like, but that's not how you win. You know what I mean? Like, yes, he can take over games and he can single-handedly do it. But there is a part of this with Miles that it's like, I do think that there are a lot of guys sometimes that's like, don't worry, Miles has got us. And that doesn't mean guys aren't playing hard. I don't want to say it like that. But I do think like the when you have a singularly great player, especially in this kind of system, it can almost be like, well, I'm like the fifth banana here. Of course, I'm not going to, you know, step up. So you don't, you never know who's going to step up if somebody is out, which is kind of the long-winded way of what I'm trying to say.
When you have a generational player like Myles Garrett, it masks and covers up the rest of the defense. And the defense has been great, right? We all agree that the defense has been great over the years, and that's kind of what has allowed the Browns to be who they are from time to time. But now when you don't have Myles Garrett on the field, he's on the sideline. Yes, he can help direct, but it's not the same. You put that uniform back on, you get Myles Garrett out there as quickly as possible, but you also have to make sure that he's at 100%. If you want to go deeper or have any chance of anything this year in making the playoffs, right? I know it's early, but making the playoffs or even having that verbiage out there, you've got to make sure Myles is on the field.
So with that, again, we're not doctors. We've established this. Do you think it's a foregone conclusion that at some point here that we're going to have to rest Miles?
Oh, 100%. And I did not stay at a Holiday Inn Express.
Yet.
So I am not yet, right? I like to do stuff differently. But you, if you're going to have a chance on that defensive side, you have to rest Myles Garrett. That is, I think, for me, the number one choice.
So it does, again, everything with this is there's an asterisk involved because the Browns, I do think they've learned their lesson from their previous boo-boos with disclosing injuries. So now they're just super, I'm not going to say anything. If there was any other word but Achilles in this, I probably wouldn't be as pro, why are you letting this guy play, as I feel like I am right now.
Right. Well, originally, right, we look at it, okay, a foot issue. Okay, well, you can handle that. You can deal with that. Oh, by the way, now he's got a thigh issue. Well, okay, maybe rub some Icy Hot on that and get out there and play. But again, like you said, Nick, the Achilles side of it, he's an explosive player off the edge. You have to be able to push off your foot, your heel, your Achilles. You look at how good Christian McCaffrey was and is, they're taking the right route to allow him to heal as good as a player as he is. Myles Garrett is in that same boat.
And I think I think it's interesting. And again, they're not the same injury, so I should make sure to point that out. But I think it'll be a real test because I'll tell you, if this progresses and it gets worse for Miles, it's not even just about this year. It is about the next 5 to 7 years of his career, at which we hope we can have this guy to this level as long as we can. Myles Garrett not practicing again today. The report by Jordan Schultz is he's playing through 3 injuries. The A word. Not that A word. The Achilles, a foot and a thigh issue. And while we're talking Browns here, Daryl Ryder and Andy Baskin track the season episode by episode during their podcast, It's Always Game Day in Cleveland, including post-game drops. Subscribe to the podcast now at 923thefan.com, the free Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcast. Sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. And you know, Jason, one of the kind of themes that I talk about a lot with the Browns is Kevin Stefanski as a leadership. Some of this I'm talking about in a vacuum because I'm not in that building every day. So that is a benefit of the doubt I give to Kevin because he's had more success than any Browns head coach since Bill Belichick. And we can probably say going back to Marty if we're being real fair because Bill had one winning season here, or one playoff season here. But this Miles thing, this is the next test of this mindset with Kevin of, I put it on the player to make the decision. I think anytime you're talking about an Achilles or when you're talking about something that he's having to gut through this early in the season, time is your friend. And I think this might be one of the things I want Kevin to do a little differently is it's okay to go and say, I know you want to play. You know I'm trying to look out for you because I'm trying to protect you from the competitor within. I need you to go ahead, and if the doctors say 3 weeks of rest will do this, will fix you up, then we need to take that so that you're ready by the time late October comes around.
Well, when you look at Myles Garrett, he's a horse. And for Kevin Stefanski to be able to sit his horse down and have a conversation about, we need you all season. We need to make sure that you're healthy, not in week one, two, or three, but in weeks 10, 11, 12, 13, and so on. You need to make sure that he understands that. And any time you're talking about, like you said, the big A word, the Achilles side of it, that is a
Thank you for clarifying that immediately, because people have heard me say the other A word before.
Oh, boy, here we go. But that is a, you know, a testament of being a head coach, too, is making sure that your players, especially your stud players, your best players in the locker room, understand where you're coming from. And he's going to protect his players 100%.
Well, and it's difficult because then you start to factor in, not only are we not doctors, you don't want to, you know, start to jam up team doctors. I know that there's a lot that goes into this, but I do think, like, I can point to Baker Mayfield should have been shut down in 2021. And if he was shut down, Baker would still be the quarterback here, and he could have sidestepped a lot of the nonsense that we've gone through the last couple of years. Quite frankly, Deshaun and how it was handled leading up to the Baltimore game. Remember, the night before the Baltimore game, where DTR started on 3 hours' notice, Deshaun had been telling Kevin, I'm going to play, and Kevin told that to everyone who would listen. And in hindsight, everybody put that on Deshaun, and I'm like, wait. It's the head coach. If you look at this guy and go, I'm not too sure about this, you can't just go out there and say, well, it's a player decision. It is a team decision. You know what I mean? And I think I understand. So this is where the era comes into it. I'm not asking Kevin to be Mike Vrabel or Belichick from 30 years ago, or Bill Parcells. That's not who he is. I understand that. But this is an area, to me, of leadership, of just being able to talk to your players. Because I think now, I think I asked you this question. I'll say this right now. I don't know how, if this guy's dealing with us now in week three, and every week it seems to have gotten worse. I don't know how it gets better unless he misses time.
Well, I think that's the big question, right, that is up for debate right now, is if he doesn't miss time, he's not going to heal, because you're banging every Sunday. You get Monday, Tuesday off a little bit to some extent, but you need to make sure that you're getting healthy at the same time. And the only way you do that is with rest.
So we're actually going to play from Kevin Stefanski here earlier today, talking about Myles Garrett's status and the 3-1 injury here.
Yeah, I don't see him being ruled out. Obviously, you would be smart if there's ever a decision to be made with every player. I feel like Myles is determined to continue to play. He's working through injuries like a lot of guys, and he's played through injury in his past. But of course, you'd always make smart decisions with your players.
So that is, and listen, that's the patented Kevin Stefanski non-answer.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. .com.
And I'm going to continue to go back to, because I've gone at Kevin for a lot of things, so I'm not trying to hammer Kevin for this, but this is one of those, like it was with the other two examples. Okay, I'm going to trust you to trust the player to make the decision, but if the worst case outcome, if the foot injury just gets too much, I'm not going to hammer you. Right, like, well, you can't see. But if the worst case scenario of the three injuries happens with the big A word, that's when, like, that's not hindsight. We're setting this up that if the worst case scenario comes out of this, because I'll be honest with you, I think if we get into most indispensable players, I'll give you Myles. Yeah, it's easy to say that's the guy. He's a unicorn physically. It's easy to say he's, you know, the, what, reigning defensive player of the year, potential future Hall of Famer. He is your most important cog in the machine. At the end of the day, man, it is football. And when it comes down to, especially early in the season, if you can't overcome the loss of Miles, then that house of cards that was the number one defense last year was just that. It wasn't a well-built foundation if the only thing that has to happen for you to be great is Miles to play.
Well, and that's a scary scenario right now, is that he is playing right now. He's still day-to-day. He didn't practice today. So now when you're looking at the whole situation that's going to come to the forefront, you're going on the road. You're playing a team that you should probably beat, you know, in the Raiders. But at the same time, you want to make sure that you have your dogs. And this game, you're going to get banged up. It's inevitable. If you're playing that hard and you're an edge rusher and you're who Myles Garrett is, like you said, a unicorn, you want to make sure that as a player, you're going out there and you're going to play hard. You don't want to be hesitant at all thinking about, oh, if I pull back the reins just a little bit as a player, am I going to get beaten? Am I going to get pushed back? And is that going to hurt me even more?
Well, and here's the other thing. Long term, and this is the same thing. Like, I think we've underrated the importance of edge rushers, or pass rushers. Elite pass rushers are just under the importance of, like, I'd say, like, a above average starting quarterback in the NFL. Like, I think it's like the third most, the most valuable is a franchise quarterback. Then you go to that step below above average. And then to me, it's like an elite pass rusher. So I think it's one of the three most important kinds of players in football. But so if we're talking 15 games, 14 games, yeah, I don't know how you could expect the thing to be the same. But I think the thing we always lose sight of in football, it is a team game. And for a short term, I also think, like, listen, I don't want to rest Miles if not for the Achilles. But if there is an advantage to be gained there to get him healthy, let's do that so we can just make sure that he doesn't lead to something career-altering. And at the same point, this is where then short-term, it's about Za'Darius. It's about Alex Wright. It's about if you want to make a trade for Hassan Reddick, who still hasn't reported to the Jets. It's about Denzel in the cornerback room. Like, you know, there's not 10 other scrubs on defense, so you don't ever want to find out, well, can they do it without Miles? But that's a hell of a test. You'd prefer that the defense was actually playing really well, and I don't think they played that well. I think they had a good game against Jacksonville. Ton of chunk yardage. Ton of missed opportunities. The neighbors think from this weekend was just dumb. Oh, well, you know, we're not a matchup-based defense, so we're just going to leave MJ Emerson out there on an island to get dunked on for damn 2 touchdowns and 100 yards because we're dogs. Okay, well, you got neutered on Sunday by a slap-ass Giants team. I blacked out. Getting back to it, though, sorry. It happens occasionally. But I do think, like, do I know definitively they can answer the call if Miles has to go out if you rest him? No. But is that something that is worth finding out if it's in the best interest of Miles? 100%.
Well, I think the pride would come into it, too. I mean, if you're a defense, and last year, look how good their defense was. They were unstoppable at times, mm-hmm. and they were one of the best defenses. So now, all of a sudden, okay, they haven't played up to their caliber. They haven't played up to their standards yet, but they're still NFL players. They're still great NFL players. And if you lose a Miles Garrett for a game or two, or even if you have Miles Garrett in there at 90%, this defense can still play and can still win football games.
Well, and I think that's the thing. Like, it's so torn because we all feel more comfortable when Miles is out there. But if you can win without a quarterback, if you can win with P.J. Walker for a short stint of time and DTR short stint of time, a kid who admitted, like, oh, man, I was so green last year that it kind of jammed me up. If you can do that, like, you owe it to yourself. And here's the thing. I'll go back to this. The player always wants to play. And that, like, that's so admirable. Like, you should love Miles for that. But the player will play for a multitude of reasons. And a lot of it's their competitors. Some of it is Miles has got another payday coming. Some of it is pride. Some of it is FOMO. Like, there's so many things that go into this. And, like, I'll be honest with you. I'm not, again, I think he's going to play this weekend. But if this continues to progress and three injuries becomes four injuries, there's going to become a point where the season becomes on the line depending on which decision you make.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough call. And I think ultimately it does go back into that committee call where it's Kevin, it's Miles, it's maybe even the front office steps in and says something. But at the same time, it's going to probably come back down to Miles saying, I'm going to play this weekend as long as it doesn't linger.
So when it comes to this question, guys, Miles is apparently playing through an Achilles, a foot, and thigh injuries. Are you okay with if they decide to rest Miles? Because I'll be honest with you, I skew towards rest. It'd be different if we're in December. Man, we're in September. I know they're rudderless, but you got to think long-term on this one. And this is a spot where Kevin's got to step up and make the right decision. Were you aware that last night, that was the Guardians' chance to clinch the Ohio Cup for the 10th straight year? Talk about dominance here.
Straight domination. That's all we care about up here in the CLE.
I got to tell you, buddy, I had no idea. We literally talked about the Ohio Cup yesterday. And here's the thing. Usually, when I open my mouth and I speak on something, if I take one pinky toe out of place, if I say one thing that is not factually accurate, I will get hammered to the heavens for it on social media, and rightfully so. Not one damn person knew they were going for the Ohio Cup for the 10th straight year. Nobody said it. I didn't hear it on the station. I didn't see it on, like, the Guardians message spots. Nobody but the actual broadcast last night when they got into the game started talking about yesterday being the chance to clinch the 10th straight Ohio Cup. The Assassins coming off the top.
Jason, do they really care?
No, I really don't think they care. I think at this point right now, people are focused on the Guards being the 2 seed right now, having a chance to clinch the 1 seed, and going to October baseball.
I mean, let's not gloss over this, though. We got to put a banner up for it, right?
Oh, for sure. There has to be a banner right here.
Can we get an Ohio Cup banner going on?
This is about as bad as the Lakers midseason tournament.
No, it's better. It's better because that's a one-off. You got to win like 4 games to win this. I mean, you got to win like 4 games every season to do this. Okay, what if instead of the yearly Ohio Cup banner, what if we just do the Decade of Dominance banner? Come on, I'm team celebration here. But everybody's looking at me like I'm an alien here.
How much champagne popping are we going to be doing there?
I mean, I think all the, you know what? How about this? Is the Ohio Cup, it's maybe not, it's like an in-season tournament. Everybody gets a glass of champagne. So instead of everybody gets a bottle or 100 bottles, whatever it's been all week, you only get one glass of champagne.
We're being a little stingy right there. One glass.
Well, no, because if I said everybody gets as much champagne as you want, I'm going to get jammed up. Lightweight? I don't think that's ever been associated with me, either in my days of drinking alcohol or at like a doctor's office. I'm being facetious, by the way, in case anybody can't tell. That actually brought in what I thought was the funniest. I don't know that it was an intentional troll, but last night, after clinching the Ohio Cup, the Guardians social media team posted pictures with clearly photoshopped shirts that said Cincinnati's in Kentucky. And I think they just repurposed pictures of when they actually celebrated winning the division, either over the weekend or when they clinched the playoff spot last week, whichever pictures they used. People ran with it. And I'm not going to call out anybody specifically because I know the Morning Boys got a lot of crap for this. This isn't on the Morning Boys. Everybody, every show up until 10 a.m. today, and by the way, when I say show, I'm talking about every station got dinged on this, everybody on social media, nobody knew it was a bit, which means it's the greatest bit that's ever been bitted.
So they put the plastic up last night. They popped not just one bottle or 2 bottles, but they popped a ton of bottles last night by winning the Ohio Cup.
No, they did the opposite. They popped no bottles.
Oh.
No, this was totally somebody on social media just did Photoshop. So this is just a bit. And everybody acted like they popped bottles for this. And I got to say, what's funny about it is, I hate when people bitch about celebrating. Like, life is short. All right? You don't know how long you got. The pilot light could go out tomorrow. So if you want to celebrate 3 times, 3 different accomplishments, do it. Right? Like in your personal life, it's not like, well, you got a promotion and you got a raise and then like 3 weeks later, you got a dog. Well, don't celebrate any one of those things. Celebrate them all at the same time. Like, I just think it's ridiculous. But what was funny to me is when people thought it was real, Jason, the takes, because it would have been the third celebration in 6 days. And they're like, you're just going to celebrate anything. This is a joke of a franchise. This is why they'll never win. And so to see, and nobody on the station had that take, by the way. It was fans on social media overreacting to it. So to see them have to, like, figure out it was Photoshopped, honestly, give the social media manager for the Guardians a raise. Because the overreaction to a party that didn't happen, I could bathe myself in that for a week, Jason.
So how many fans tonight from Cleveland are going to be wearing those t-shirts that say Cincinnati Reds or Cincinnati is from Northern Kentucky?
So I want to make sure. They're not from Kentucky. They're from Northern Kentucky. Can we just say that? And I've too many people in this town try and gloss over. Cincinnati hates us. Bengals fans hate us. Like, I lived in Dayton for 2 years. One of my best buddies in college, Tommy, was straight out of Cincinnati. And the Who Day thing and all the dumb little poser things that they do. And they try and act like they're better than you. And they're not, because they're Bengals and Reds fans. And, like, I got to say, make sure it's Northern Kentucky. Make sure, because here's the thing. If you just say, Cincinnati's in Kentucky, it's not specific of enough insult. We moved the border of the Ohio River. We changed the topography so the water to flow around Cincinnati to exclude you to Kentucky. That's how we feel about Cincinnati. So I love that you threw Northern Kentucky in there.
I had to do it that way, right? And I would agree. I mean, I didn't grow up around here. I grew up in Arizona. But at the same time, Cincinnati, especially the Bengals, were known as the Bengals. Mm-hmm. They weren't even known as the Bengals in our neck of the woods.
True story. I've been jumped twice in my life. All right? That sounded like a lot cooler than it might be. And it was all when I was a little kid. When I say get jumped, I mean by a bunch of kids my age. But one has nothing to do with this. The other one was when I lived in Dayton, I wore a Terry Kirby jersey in 1999. And Bengals fans, who, mind you, had the number 3 pick in that draft and took Akili Smith, were like, I was walking in my new neighborhood and I got jumped by 3 Bengals fans. So maybe some of this is I'd kick all their asses today and I was just a young kid then. But here's the thing. I did want to get back to the celebration thing. Why does anybody care how many times a team celebrates before, like what accomplishments you celebrate for the regular season? Because I just don't. Celebrate everything.
I think it's great. Anytime that you have a chance to celebrate, yes, I agree. Do it. Make sure that you're celebrating, but at the same time, celebrate big. Either go big or go home.
Yeah, I like that too. Like, because I think some people are like, well, you just clinched a playoff spot. You didn't clinch a bye. You didn't win the division. And I'm like, who cares? Like, here's the thing. This is where I think it is different for the NFL. The NFL, yes, like the length of the season is from September to February, depending on how you play. But really, it's a 3-month sport. Right? You play, you're guaranteed to play if you're healthy from September until that first week of January. So, like, yeah, that's a long time. It's not like 8 months out of the year. So, like, here's the thing. If you're going to bash that the regular season is too damn long, can we realize it's an insane accomplishment? Like, being able to win and clinch a playoff spot, even though there are more playoff spots, that's something that should be, because 162 games, that's what it is. You survived 162 games.
Not only did you survive 162 games, you survived August. everybody talks about grinding out the dog days of August, and they did. They survived everything through that. So, yes, celebrate it. Celebrate this young group of men that are trying to accomplish something that's extremely hard and very, very rare in the city of Cleveland. That, I think, even more so, we don't understand what it's like to win a World Series here.
Yep. Well, and I think, you know, like the Dodgers didn't celebrate because the Dodgers are on a mission. It's like, blow it out your ass.
Yeah, they were on a mission last year, too.
Yeah, they've been on a mission for a decade, and they've won one World Series. So, like, that to me is phony. Like, the I'm not celebrating thing, it's like, you know that guys that celebrate every single accomplishment, every team does it, but, like, one a year. One team does the, I'm not gonna celebrate that. And, by the way, it doesn't get you any closer to a World Series. It's killing me. But here, I'm going to be real honest with you. I think sports talk has influenced certain things and the way people think in some ways. I don't think this has changed for the fans. I think people who say they're celebrating too much, I think it is fraudulent sports talk crap. Because I think the two things, if you want to appear like you have an edge, oh, I'll call the team out and nobody else will, right? The fake I'm unbiased thing is just to bash a team. That's one thing I hate. The rundown, the celebration of everything, I'm so tragically cool, I couldn't possibly enjoy this. Dude, I'll be honest with you. When they first celebrated, watching Big Christmas smoke a cigar, and he wasn't even being interviewed. He was just hanging out on TV with Hosey, and I think it was Rocchio, or it was definitely one of the other young Latino players. And he was just smoking a cigar. You could tell he was half lit too. He had some booze, and it just was like I would do this for every day. Like if you could inject this into my veins every day, I'd be 10% happier. How could you not love it?
No, very much so. And it's a one of a kind. I mean, you look, because every year is different. Every year you have different players that step up, whether it's baseball, basketball, football, hockey, it doesn't matter. But it's a once in a lifetime opportunity to win. And then on top of that, to go to the playoffs.
All right, guys, 216-474-0092. Are you one of the fuddy duddies? Are you willing to come on air and say that you hate celebrations in baseball and that you hate fun? And don't lose touch with the baseball races now, guys, because Cleveland is still battling for that first round bye. They're now a game and a half back. They got four games to go. The other team, who we shall not mention, the Voldemorts out there, five games to go. I think we got a chance here.